there. So I don't know.
You see like an account, you see that it's same folder where your validator key pair is?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, actually, hang on.
I'm not talking var log. I'm talking in the Solana folder.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it just reminded me this is like a script that actually starts it up.
Mm-hmm. There's a script that starts it up? Oh, systemd? Oh, no, you're running like a janky something.
Yeah, it's in a separate log folder. Yeah, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams. Welcome to Game of Nodes, the working while you're on a stream podcast hosted and a weekly podcast from independent validator teams. Anyway, we've got Null back. We switched Schultzy for Null. We traded in one model. No comment for another model.
An older model.
Hey, yo, I'm back, baby.
The Australianness has increased, well, I guess by definition, 100%. 100%.
We had at least one viewer ask for proof of life.
Yep.
Well, at least one. It had been some time, and apologies to my one viewer who feared for my well-being. Thank you, by the way. No one else gave a fuck. I didn't receive one email. Hey, man, just checking in.
Just checking in. I think it's kind of funny that it's not that, you know, the bear market you were here representing. It was just like, finally, yeah, what is it? What's the deal?
You know, I think it's two things. One, I needed a little break from the gone, I think. Just the week after week for like a year and a bit. I think caught up with me a little bit.
It's been a bit longer than that, my guy.
Well, yeah, I don't know, a year and whatever it is, but I think it caught up with me a little bit. But on top of that, I just had a series of circumstances where basically every fucking time the gun was on, I was on an airplane. So that wasn't my planning. That was my partner's planning. So blame her.
I'm not going to blame her.
There's no blame here. This isn't blame of nodes. He's just come up with these on the spot, you know. It's incredible, isn't it?
It has been a while, right?
But however, I did enjoy the break. Three episodes I missed. I apologize. I had a great sleep on the plane.
The last time you were here, that plant behind you was just a seed.
Yeah. Actually, I'm in the process of packing up the office.
And you're getting the fuck out, right?
Yeah,
you're finally leaving your parents' basement.
Yeah,
I have a parents' basement.
Particular basement.
There's nothing in there, right? Just validate shit coins for 3.5 years, and you can finally leave your parents' basement.
We'll be moving into my own basement with mine and my partner. Well, my partner and I's basement, I believe, is the correct English way to say it. And The new one is it's got some gooder internet and area. It's got gooder internet and area for a rack. So I'm going to be home labbing a little bit, having some fun with some bits and pieces on the company dime. And it should be good. Keep that noise away from the living room. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to run a validator out of the house?
Well, I mean, you know.
Well,
ETH is in the spirit of home.
It is.
Validators.
You could run a Horcrux node from your home lab.
You could.
Yeah, but I won't.
You're still a DGen Horcrux anyway, aren't you?
Yes. Thanks for that. I try to keep that under my foot, prick. DGen all the way. I invented DGen, so I have to.
You
have
did.
To
that was.
You have to represent.
TM. It's yours.
If all my degenning in crypto comes down to one thing, it's that I coined the term
degen Horcrux. Everybody knows that. Strangelove team knows that term. They all know it.
Yeah, they made Horcrux.
To be fair, I think also some of your documentation for Juno was ripped off by a thousand chains. Just like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Just like I see my documentation everywhere in the cosmos now, like literally word for word, my tone of voice. I'm like, did I write this? Did I fucking write this? I feel like I might have written this 3 years ago.
I think up until recently, and to be fair, you and I both wrote those docs for Juno. We like tag teamed on that a bit. I think you didn't like stuff that I wrote and I didn't like stuff that you wrote. So we duly changed it back and forth.
please say fucking charmed, right?
But now that Comet BFT is becoming more prolific than Tendermint around the UK chains, they have a different way of doing some things. So the documentation has changed and is somewhat lacking around the place. Very simple copy pasta rather than any kind of explanation or notes, which is, you know.
But I,
they don't do it like they used to.
They don't. But in the defense of that, I have seen teams recently, maybe not this year, but within the last year, that I've seen documentation, and then like in that documentation, it'll have like the word Juno D in there because they just literally copied pasted the whole fucking thing. Like I think they just took the whole repo and copied it and did like a find and replace, but something missed, and you'll see like a Juno D in there where it's supposed to be another binary. So there's still, it's still happening.
Ah, yes, the old copy pasta. You really know someone is low budget chain when they're just copy pastering fucking documentation, like not checking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, we're all standing on the shoulders of giants after all. You know, Jorge from Stargaze, those early test nets were taught us everything we knew about validating shit coins and then gave us the tools we needed to write our own documentation. Which probably took heavy inspiration from Jorge's testnet documentation. So swings and roundabouts, right?
You know,
is that right? Was Stargaze first? I thought Juno was first.
No, Stargaze was first. But what happened was you had to. They said they had like a list of things like do a thing in the early testnets, like as an operator, figure out how to unstake. Unbond your validator, jail and unjail your validator, shit like that. Sure. Like, and a lot of the early docs in the Cosmos space were a combination of node operators' notes. It felt like, anyway, doing things like the Stargaze testnet or the game of chain. Was it game of chains? Game of stakes? Game of stakes on Cosmos Hub. Because there were like a few of these things, weren't there, where they were like, sort of challenges for validators to figure out how to do stuff that was relatively new, and people made their own docs, and then teams also published answers, which were sort of like docs, but like, oh, you need to do this command, then this command, and like the combination of those two things, it felt like was quite a lot of the, like any actual documentation you saw anywhere was like a combination of like maybe there's two sorts of things like wrapped up in a blog post almost, like it wasn't mad official for a while, but I think Juno might have got to market first, but Stargaze was testnets before Juno for sure, 100%. Like months before. We're talking like first Stargaze testnet, I think it was February
21,
very long time ago now. When I was a young man,
when I was gray hair. I know it's funny, like it still seems very new, and at the same time, like 3 years in that is a pretty decent time. I mean, it's not, I mean, 3 years is shit, don't get me wrong, but still, like in this space
3 years makes us fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah,
we're survivors. Even if we go out now, we're survivors.
We're survivors.
Oh yeah, baby.
Every team I talked to recently, they all like, yeah, we started this in 2017. I was like, did you?
But like, did you really?
Did you really? Like we wrote this thing in 2018. I'm like,
yeah, man, they bought their first XRP in 2017.
Yeah. I was like, 2018 is like, I'm like, did you?
Yeah.
People's dates get all fucked up.
Oh man. I don't know about this.
Pizza in 2012. Can I claim that we've been in business since 2012 as a result? Trading pizza, trading Bitcoin for pizza.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So
what are you saying?
I can't remember. It was profound.
Was it profound?
three weeks.
Yeah. You've got 3 weeks to think about it.
3 weeks to think about it.
Already forgotten.
Yeah, already forgotten. I'm wondering, Eric's got me all wound up with this log thing. I'm wondering where my log is. I specify where to put it. It's just, it's not there. I fucking don't know what's going on with that shit.
Where's my log?
This is the essence of running any kind of infrastructure, is long periods of doing nothing while thinking, but what the fuck? Followed by, like, I don't know, 2 to 4 hours of very intense, very caffeinated work where you figure out a load of stuff, get a load of stuff done, and then revert to being a zombie staring into space. At least that's my experience of running any kind of infrastructure, whether it's Docker or not. Or I remember like one very hot summer when I was a junior engineer rebuilding all of our deployment stacks. I felt like
one hot summer. This sounds like the start of a fucking story that sounds very long.
No, that's kind of the end of it.
I remember one hot summer. It was like a young man in my 20s.
It was dead warm, and I felt like I did nothing all summer, but I got a bunch of stuff done, and people were like, hey, good job. But I just felt like I kind of did like a couple of hours a day of like actually tinkering, and then like a couple of hours a day of thinking, and then I was fucking watching YouTube, I swear to fucking God. But yeah, whatever, man. Infrastructure, baby.
It's also one of those things where like everything's fine, it's fine, it's fine, and then like you get tipped off on one thing, you're like, oh shit, this is totally fucked.
it's fine, it's fine, it's fucked.
It's fucked.
Yeah, like we've had a really bad run of like near misses in production in the last 3 months caused by like a mad set of random things. And then that box of ours fully exploding the other week was, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, you hate to see it, but at least it was on a Cosmos chain.
You hate to see it.
I mainly hated to see the pager duty notifications about a chain that has made us a lifetime earnings of $290. I'm like, $290, baby, don't even fucking wake me up.
I don't know if you could count that as earnings. It is definitely revenue, but it also is also a heavy, heavy loss.
It's losses.
It's probably pretty illiquid. I don't even know that you can get those and take them anywhere.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think Mars is traded anywhere. So it's a bit like, this strikes me as I remember, do you remember in the first bit when the chain launched, there was a period where there was something funny about inflation. I think the airdrop hadn't happened yet. So the majority of people didn't have tokens. And there was a period of like a couple of weeks where they were figuring out something, I guess, presumably deploying contracts or something. And you could just run your validator and they were like, this is where validators will get a bit extra to self-stake. And you're like, okay, cool. And we were just running like default 10% because that's just what we bond on almost every chain. And the team reached out to us and we're like, what the fuck? We said 5%. And you're like, well, you know, decentralization, like we can kind of actually fucking pick for ourselves. And they're like 5%. And you're like, look, lads, there is a bear market. I don't know if you looked out the window. It's not like whatever. And then and they just got fucking super arsy, like real fucking arsy. I think in the end, we just gradually brought it down because it's like, oh, fuck it. I don't need people. I don't need this. I don't need this aggro in my life. But that was really the clue that we should just fucking unbonded. That was the clue. We should have unbonded day 4, whatever that was, of Mars's life. Just
speaking of unbonded, so Evmos is going to an ICF.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're going to be or ICS. I'm sorry, what did I say? ICF, ICS.
I assume that's what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to take their extremely bloated state along with them to ICS.
I mean, yeah. I mean, why? Why not bring a 1 terabyte database that can't be state synced at all? I mean, let's just bring it all in. All those Cosmos validators would be fucking excited about this.
ICS is
if I was a Cosmos validator and I saw that shit, I'd be like, I'm bored.
I'd be fucking no with vetoing that shit.
No state sync
with veto.
Still no state sync. no rewards, 3 cent token price. Like, yeah, sweet.
Not gonna lie, we bailed on Evmos. Well,
I was talking about it, but now I'm just gonna wait. I'm just gonna play the victim.
All right, you wait till it goes to yeah, and then you're like, yeah,
exactly. Huh? What the fuck, man? I was been here since the beginning.
We had them up. Woke up, it was gone. Well, huh?
I don't know. What happened?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
It was long Evmos. Now what happened?
Evmos. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how, I guess it's a good question, actually.
So badly?
Evmos died when their main decks had the liquidity sapped out of it.
Yeah.
And that was it. Mm. That was years ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild, though, that the ICS thing is gaining a lot more traction now. And it's just like completely facetiously, but also unfacetiously, the whole fucking point of Cosmos is like looking over at Ethereum and being like, well, that's not going to fucking work. So how about federated blockchains? And then they do that and people stop becoming overnight millionaires. And they're like, actually, how about what if we consolidate all of our shit chains into one shit chain and literally just reinvent the L2? But it's not an L2. These are federated blockchains. You do have sovereign control. This is not an L2. Don't call it an L2. It's not an L2. It's definitely not a fucking L2. It's so unlike an L2 that nobody could confuse them, except for it has all the properties of an L2 from a systematic classification level. But it's not an L2. It's really not anything like an L2. Couldn't be further from it.
But yet,
fucking, just, you know, like, wild idea. Just like go and build something better. Like, if it ain't working for you, like, use, like, get 20 million of venture capital or whatever and go and build a fucking product. Like,
yeah, I think the idea of building, I mean, Evmos was a kind of a platform, right? Similar to Juno.
Yeah.
Like, they're both, Juno is a, right, permissionless WASM platform. Evmos is a permissionless, I think, right? EVM platform. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah, it means jack shit. Like,
anything.
But it's also just like, I mean, it's like so many of these Cosmos chains, that is fundamentally the problem as well, is that there is no product there. But also just like nobody's prepared to engage with the hard problems. Like a lot of the, if you actually want to like re-implement any part of the consensus stack, you know, go back to fucking school. Like if you're not like if you're not pretty au fait with the actual theory of consensus systems, like it is actually a hard engineering problem that requires people. Like, but this is the thing. Like, it's not like these teams haven't raised enough money to do that, which is the thing that doesn't fucking add up to me. Like, well, not every team, but like the teams who are better funded, you're like, you have the money to hire people who have a master's in computer science. You could scrape a few together.
But is that the issue, though?
Well,
that's not the issue, is it?
I mean, the issue is it's easier to launch a shit chain, promise the world the moon on a stick, and then just watch it fail. But after you've already cashed out.
No. In these two situations, I think the idea was, hey, we're going to build a platform, and then like these teams are going to show up, and we're going to build this.
Oh,
we're
going
to
build
use cases and this is a place to be able to allow dApps to succeed. And then they start to realize that, oh, these dApps, I mean, honestly, the best ones that we worked with have their own chains, right? Because they why would they be a consumer on something else? So if somebody's going to raise a significant amount of money to be an application on a chain, like the actual ability to build that chain and build a val set and like actually do that is not that much of a bigger stretch than the actual dApp. So why would they do that? Right? Like why would
especially a Cosmos chain, right? Because you can you can spin up a Cosmos chain in an afternoon. It's just that then, you know.
Yeah. Like Bear is a good example of that. Bear chain could be an application set on there's like a ton of different chains I could do. We could do that in Say. You could do that in a ton of different things, right? Like,
but then to paraphrase a famous
saying, why would you?
Right. I had a problem. I used Cosmos to solve that problem. Now I have two problems.
Who the hell said that? Everybody.
Yeah, well, I use the Kawagi space, use Cosmos SDK to end of it, solve my problem. Now I have two problems.
I don't know. I think, which we didn't know in 2021 when we were talking about like timelines, but the ability for just to have a platform for anybody to come and be able to build something is not necessarily something that actually has value.
Well, I guess.
We all learned, right? Like, yeah, I think everybody's learned that.
I guess, like, the previous meta for 2021 was like DeFi summer on Ethereum. So I think that there was a pervading feeling that that had run out of steam, maybe because of a combination of fees and slow blocks and a variety of other kind of related things. And so it was like, okay, well, if we can solve those problems, then maybe we can bring some of that energy to Cosmos. Like that beginning of the, that guy in the beginning of The Big Short, you know, the big guy, the sweaty guy, the mortgage-backed securities guy, when he's like, come on, let's hear some money in here. Right at the beginning. I felt like that's the Cosmos thing. It's like 2021 Cosmos. It's like, right, DeFi Summer didn't work. Well, we've got very slightly quicker blocks and much lower fees. Come on, let's see some money in here.
Yeah. Well, I was on a call this morning with somebody else who's another chain that's not by myself. It was like a bunch of people kind of doing like a debrief on the chain in the future and like what's going on. And it was all technical. It was all technical. It was all like, hey, we're first to this. We're first to this. We're first to this. And I don't think any of that shit matters. I really don't. It doesn't make any fucking difference. Use cases or like that's it. I think the idea of like building platforms or like, we're going to somehow, you know, somehow we're going to build up an ecosystem that everybody's going to flock to. I just don't think so. And honestly, even if you have a great dApp that like actually has a shitload of users and does a fucking amazing job of marketing, all that type of stuff, that could probably exist on any chain and still be successful.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, there are a couple of examples where that is a bit tougher. Like I think the Sui and Aptos are an example where, because Move is so specialist or relatively specialist, like where are you going to take your dApp? You're going to take it to Aptos or you're going to take it to Sui, and that's it. So if you're Move to developer, you're kind of shit out of luck if you want to, like, you're not just going to launch your own chain using Move, because the underlying infrastructure, like the amount you would need to understand to maintain that chain, is considerably higher than the previous generation, which is like Tendermint and stuff like that.
I don't know. A friend of the show at Artifact like believes that Sui is going to be the next Tendermint, meaning like there's going to be a shitload of chains that launch off of the Sui base, meaning that's very easy to stand up and very reusable and those types of things.
Why are we not doing it? We have the technical
ability. Well, we haven't seen it yet, right?
No. I mean, why do we not create Juno Sui?
Let's do it.
Does it have governance? I'm out.
We make Usurper do all the voting. Usurper's dictator for life. Benevolent dictator for life.
That's fine. Yeah, we should talk about that too. Yeah, I think chains have a dictator. That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than validators. It's better than validators. What the hell?
I just watched that. I said a few weeks ago, I watched on your Plex server the Joaquin Phoenix Napoleon film.
You said the inside bit outside.
What's that?
You said the inside bit outside.
The what?
You don't say that word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The
server?
Insert word here, server. Yeah.
Oh, no. Right. Okay. Well, sorry. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Usurper's media server. That I kindly have a link to watch some of his DVDs on.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
Yeah. You can watch a DVD with your friends. Anyway.
You can.
As long as it's not on an oil rig or a plane. I'm pretty sure that's what it says at the beginning of the DVD, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or in a hotel.
Yeah, it's like oil rig, plane, hotel. It's like Microsoft XP or whatever. When you boot it up, it's like, don't run this in a nuclear submarine. It's the same kind of, as long as it's not explicitly mentioned, you're good. It's fine. That's totally how the law works. Anyway,
in the UK. who boys wants to be built, boys until they're girls.
Who wants to be the Napoleon of our new shit chain project? That's my question.
Well, it should be, I mean, I think we should take the DYDX approach, which would be that there is a shit chain that's, well,
yeah, there's a shit chain exists.
That it exists, and we don't have any ownership of it, right? We do know where the software exists, and there's a lot of independent people that we don't know who they are that actually do that.
And people then, have made commits, but who they are.
But we don't know who they are, right? And then it's how it's all housed in the server that's located in Null's new house.
Exactly. Who's Null? Fuck knows.
Fuck knows.
So what I am, to be fair, quite interested in, and I have to say, I don't know a lot about this because we don't validate it, but I'm kind of interested in to what extent there's like research papers and stuff coming out of SWE over what they're working on, because I know they have like a similar consensus mechanism to Aptos, but obviously mainly see the stuff related to Aptos because the obvious reasons, right? But it does feel like those teams are spending, like, citation needed on the SWE side. I need to check it. But Aptos are publishing actual good research papers that build on the stuff that is going on at the forefront of BFT consensus. And, like, you got to respect. Like, I respect the fact that as somebody who is working in the permission space and has to make some architectural calls about how that would work, I'm looking up what the cutting edge is of things, and I'm seeing paper citations that go in the direction of the Aptos team and the Aptos team that are in Slack channels, like as in the avatars of people that are in those channels. You can see some. If somebody's called like Null 69420, right, and then Jeffrey Null is an author on an academic paper, and the paper was part funded by the Aptos Foundation, you're like, well, I think Null 69420 might be the same person as Jeffrey Null. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, conceivably.
Obviously, your actual handle is not Null 69420. It's just Null names. So, you know, whatever, man.
Yeah, I kind of just roll with that, hoping that it'll break something one day. Some poorly constructed.
If it was just Null on its own, maybe.
Maybe I should have made my name Drop Table. Maybe.
Little Bobby Tables.
Yeah.
Oh, so earlier.
Test everything.
Earlier, I was in my shared office and somebody said, I can't remember what they said, like, they were going to go use the meeting room. I was like, oh, you can't do that. And they were like, oh, shit, why? Oh. And then I was like, oh, it's full of water. And then somebody was like, I was like, okay, sorry, joke doesn't really work. I'm just tired, whatever, man. And then somebody else was like, oh, but what if we actually filled it with balls, like make it a big ball pen? Could we even afford to do that? And so like I Googled it, like how much does it cost to fill a room with balls? Yeah, risky. Safe search on. Right. So do you remember there was that, about 20 years, nearly 20 years ago now, there was an XKCD cartoon where I think the punchline was something like, you're an adult now, you can be an adult however you want, right? And it was a person who'd filled their entire flat with, like a stick man, who'd filled their entire flat with bullpen balls. And then the guy that did XKCD did a fucking blog post where he did it. He did that. And then there's a calculator for how much it will cost you to fill your flat with balls. So yeah, Noel reminded me of Little Bobby Tables. I was like, I was reading XKCD today to find out how to fill a room with ball pen balls. But yeah.
How many balls?
How many balls do you need to fill a flat, son? It's thousands of dollars is the answer. Thousands of dollars.
Okay. Very, I would imagine they're quite small.
It does look fucking cool though. When you see people like up to their neck in a room in balls, you're like,
very small.
But did you say ball pen balls, like from the tip of your pen? Is that what you're talking about?
No, like you know, like a you know, the ones you get in like a kid's.
Oh, right, actual. I thought you were talking about like those wee bitty things from the like tip of your pen.
That would cost like millions of dollars.
Literally.
Yeah, but it would be quite comfortable.
Disassemble the pens.
It'd be very fluid.
Well, you could drown in it or suffocate.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you could suffocate. Whereas ball pen balls, bullpen balls, if you fall on the top and you sink to the bottom, you can still breathe. So you can literally go to sleep, and apparently you sink down while you're asleep.
But imagine inhaling a lung full of ballpoint pen balls. That'd be different.
That sounds
so awful. In other self-harming news, I started watching videos on YouTube about Go programming, and instantly didn't like it.
GoPro,
why were you doing that?
Go coding, go code.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, why were you doing that?
Just to expand the knowledge base of things.
Okay, that's a good reason.
Had a spare half day while I was on a plane, and downloaded a Vidya series. I don't know. Well, it seems fine.
You do it. You do some stuff in Python, right?
I can write Python code.
You dabble.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like Python code's just like really lazy. You just type the things and put indents.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
lazy.
I don't know if I like that whole indented thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, it's like YAML, right? Or TAML.
I would rather some more definitive structure, I guess, to the thing.
I can understand that, but. Yeah.
So but more definitive structure. How definitive would you like your structure, Noel?
Oh, not Rust definitive. No, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, Rust is better than Go. But anyway, apart from that.
I mean, I intend to have a look at both. I want to write a few helpers around the place for various things. And I think like doing it in Python is probably a little bit. I like a compiled thing that I can just spray around the joint, you know, that I don't have to build every time. So. And that's not
having
you know,
the binaries is the shit because fuck. Yeah,
that does.
As soon as you got used to building in Rust or Go, I should say, I have to add Go on the end, even though I would never do it.
Another problem with, and this is not a real problem, but a problem for me with Python is that I tend to like just open things and change them if it's a possibility. So. You know, instead of going back to the code base and fixing it and then making a new version, I would just change it where it sits and forget all about it. So, in terms of an environment where this is likely to be reused 1,000 times on different things, it's not great having 20,000 different versions of it sitting on all the different servers rather than just going back and fixing it and compiling it and then using it.
No, but that's also because you have a lack of discipline. That's fine.
That's true.
I mean, that exact problem that you've just described is solved by having a build pipeline on a CI server,
and then removing the option
to force you into doing the right thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Remove the option
But even with a compiled language, you should still be building it like pipeline it somewhere and then pull it down to a box.
Exactly. So it'd be like in a, a GitHub pipeline. What I'm saying is that if I've got a script on the box, I'll just change it and then move on.
This is why Docker was a revelation, Noel, because it makes everything a binary.
It's all, but it's all a piece of shit, though.
Fuck Docker.
It's not. It's totally fine. Docker is one of the most revolutionary technologies of the last 20 years. It's got more practical fucking utility than blockchain. Docker is improved. Well,
that bar is fucking low, by the way. But
well, yeah,
shooting fish in the barrel. This blockchain.
What can I tell you?
I would say
infrastructure people are ambivalent towards blockchain. Programmers love blockchain. Docker. Programmers love Docker because it solves lots of problems we have.
It does. It solves a shitload of problems and also creates a shitload of new ones. So
Serpa, I'll tell you what I want to make. You might find this interesting and entertaining and also probably dumb. So I want to make a helper that you can just load with HA proxy, right? When you put on a proxy onto a server that you're serving some services from, just a binary that basically goes there and watches the home directory for known Cosmos chain dot directories. And if they, just watch as if the directory appears, like, you know, dot Juno or whatever the Juno one is. But so it will talk to chain directory or even Cosmos directory and find out what the dot directories are for all of the chains. And then it will just watch the home directory of that server. And if a directory appears, it will grab the chain information from Cosmos directory and then query the RPCs that are on there for the highest height in the chain compared to the local chain according to the standard ports, Pokachu's standard ports. And then if it starts to lag out, report the health to a predefined URI for each domain that HaProxy is serving.
What does HaProxy have to do with it? Are you doing the chain health, are you doing RPC
service? Yeah, it's just to report health for RPC. Yeah, because I don't like to wait the
moment. To report health for RPC. So meaning,
because you know, at the moment we sort of look for things like other than external monitoring on the server. You know, HaProxy looks for that the chain's caught up. Well, Cosmos SDK chains don't necessarily report truthy values there. It's,
they don't.
Sometimes just bullshit. So comparing it to other services is probably more of a reliable way of determining if it's up to the head of the network.
Yeah.
So, and then reporting on a health endpoint so that Cloudflare and HaProxy can have accurate information on a per chain basis. So,
well, as long as
but then you can use the same thing for everything, and you don't have to have a config file or anything. You just load it when you load HaProxy.
This is very cute that Null is like speed running, like, and I'll just write this simple program and it'll run everywhere. It'll be absolutely fine. And
it's not that bad. Look, the idea of like being able to actually go, like, for it to be smart enough to go look at every directory folder and figure out what the hell that is, like, that's like phase two. It'd be good just for,
MVP, my friend.
Yeah. It would be good you could just have it interrogate the HAProxy config file for what you've already preset up.
You want to do as much as you can locally, because the calling out over the network is going to, like, you're going to very quickly run into fun and games with error handling from timeouts and all sorts of other network-based shenanigans. Like,
I'm sure there's a library for that.
Not so much that, but also...
but also programming paradigm. This is why JavaScript is fully asynchronous. Like, it's because it's a language that assumes that you're always going to be making network calls, and so it has to be pervasively asynchronous. Otherwise, the whole language locks up because it's single-threaded, right? So you as soon as you start playing around with network connections, things get fun pretty quick. Would be my... You know, what do I know? Like, you know, I've only been doing this a while.
Sure, maybe I'll do it in JavaScript instead.
Well, don't do that. That wasn't my advice there.
That's what I heard. I heard make a fucking JavaScript app. What is it? I can't remember what they call that thing now.
Well, actually, so I mean, if you do actually want a piece of advice, you should make a small web server that runs on that host to collect the metrics you want and expose a mini API. And then on a different server, if you're calling one service, you should call that service, your two different health services, and collate that information on a box where it isn't going to have any impact on performance. And also, you know, just in general, it's good to have that sort of stuff hosted elsewhere. If it were me, I wouldn't even have that as a box. I would actually have that as an AWS Lambda, because then I'm not even probably paying for it, because you get a million executions before you pay for it. So at that point, I would probably write it in... Well, I'd probably write it in Python, Rust, or JavaScript. Yeah, no JS.
That's the third time this week I've heard you shill Lambda. Are you getting paid by AWS? Did you get an agreement to pay off your debt?
No, quite the opposite. But, but Lambda's one of those things like Docker. It just solves a fucking problem I have and does it really well. And also, like, when I'm doing... when I'm doing non-crypto contracting, a lot of my contract work is system and backend automation architecture, and Lambda is like a huge part of the value add there, in my opinion anyway. That's what I've been saying for the last like 7-8 years making money from doing. So
it feels, I would say, like you have found a hammer.
I would say a lot of hammers, Noel, and this is just the most effective hammer for most business cases.
But this is your hammer that you found.
It's one that doesn't, is one whose hard drives don't fucking fail on you and whose RAM doesn't fail. No, wait, if you want a thing that just executes reliably from now till the end of time.
Imagine one day when AWS just shits it and everyone's made these assumptions that it never will.
I mean, it has shit it before.
Yeah, it has shit the bed.
Yeah, it
relatively rarely does, number one. And number two, you have to like core business systems in a big enterprise environment. If you don't want to fall behind, you're rewriting them every 10 years, right? Like AWS is not going to go away within 10 years. And if your business case changes within 10 years, when you rewrite it next time, you use a different technology. Like, it's just not a big deal. People get super het up about like, oh no, which cloud do I use? And blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you just literally look at the situation. You look at your costs, you look at your revenue, you go, do I have lots of engineers? Are they insource, are they outsource? You know, blah, blah, blah. You figure it out. You figure out where you're prepared to spend costs for the most part, and you make a call. And eventually that will turn out to be wrong. And then when that turns out to be wrong, you do the next thing that's contextually better at that point. You know, then it ain't too hard. Enterprise architect is just like, whatever, man.
Yeah, but what about non-enterprise bastard fuck architecture?
Then you get a million executions for free. So it's even more beneficial to you to run infrastructure on Lambda and not even fucking pay for it.
I do like your Go idea. What would be cooler is if you could write an HA proxy check script to be able to do that instead. The only issue is like trying to figure out how you get to the folder directory and trying to figure out what chain you're on and like where to go within Cosmos directory. But I think you could set a variable in there, and so at each of those structures, your check script would take in like
you can pull down every chain individually.
But that check script runs on every individual backend, so you'd have to figure out like how the fuck it knows what chain you're on, and like it's Osmosis, right? Then from there, once you know it's Osmosis, then you can easily go figure out like how to go get it from, you know, Cosmos directory and all that kind of shit. But I do like the idea of being able to, I mean, I've always talked about that too, is like that syncing or not syncing is not very accurate. And unlike what Say did with lag status on Say is like extremely helpful, right? Because it does its own peering of like, it knows what the height is of the peers that it talks into. So it knows if the node is behind, and there's nothing else within Cosmos, I think, that exists like that. And those nodes can get extreme, even like you state sync, it'll show that it's like false, that it's not syncing, even though it's in the middle of a state sync. You're like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? So I do like idea.
So that network that starts with A was a perfect example the other day where almost as soon as you started it, it went to not catching up because of like it was on the same fucking network name.
Right.
And then it was basically in consensus mode the whole time catching up, which was kind of annoying, but you know, that same false flag can happen in production for various reasons. And then you end up with, like, even if just all of the peers that you happen to be connected to are behind, then it'll drop out of block sync mode when it hits the head of anything that you're connected to. And then you're in consensus mode. And it cannot go back into block sync mode either. So it just always thinks it's caught up no matter how far it is behind.
Yeah. It all sucks.
So
but, I mean, every chain we deal with,
well, except for say, actually, only one.
I mean, it has a pretty good understanding based on peers, like if it's not, if it's lagging or not. But even in like in the stuff that we do on the Ethereum side, those Ethereum nodes have no fucking clue if they're at the head or not. They have no clue, right?
Like, so they will even go so far as to, if you have the right setting on, kick itself out of, it'll just restart itself, so it goes back into block sync mode.
Yeah, it has that. What is that called? Like, which I think is not really needed anymore with
self-remediation thing.
Yeah, I always have that off. Yeah, don't do that shit.
Yeah, I don't have that on either.
Yeah.
Honestly, anytime I get an issue with a Say node, I just state sync it straight away. I don't even see what happened to it. I just state sync it.
Well, we started, actually, not that this has anything to do with anything, but we started actually adding a lot more history to our Saenons, because on the RPC side, what we're finding, which is interesting, is that you have EVM based teams that are moving to Say. And I think in the Cosmos ecosystem, most teams that we work with are really concerned about like latest block data. And so they either have indexers that are, you know, pulling against the latest RPC data and they just want the latest height, right? That's all they care about. On the EVM side, we're finding teams that like, they want to query back a month or they want to query back 3 or 4 weeks or something like that.
So what do you do, like a million, 2 million, 5 million?
We don't keep that. Yeah. We don't keep that much history. Right. So like, the state store, I think it's state store, by default saves 100,000 blocks. 100,000 blocks in Say is like 6 hours. Yeah. I think something like that. So we started saving 2 million blocks, which is only like 5 days, something like that. 5 or 6 days. It's not even a week. And every team that we asked, they're like, hey, we want, you know, we're querying stuff a month old. I'm like, that doesn't exist here. This is not fucking Geth. You know what I mean?
It exists over here, brother. It exists over here.
which is why I've been sending you so many fucking leads. But part of that, but even that with that, like, but the interesting piece about that is that like, they're not doing it to catch up an index or doing it because that's part of like how they actually architecting their application, which is really weird to be able to query something back that far. And so it's just like a resetting of what that means. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what happens is most of these teams will like have their own indexing of some description and then they may add a feature that requires to index something different. And then they have to go back and get that information.
That's what I thought as well. But the examples that I had were like actually application based queries that are happening real time on the UI that were going back 3 or 4 weeks of data. Maybe to grab some sort of metadata associated to like a, I don't know, something was minted on NFT side or some shit, who knows, but it was really weird to actually go back that far. And I have no issues. I mean, in that situation, like we do keep some, honestly, our Say nodes, like, I guess since SayDB has been different because before we used to keep like a pretty long history as much as we could, like those databases would be half a terabyte or 750 gigs or something like that. And now with SayDB, it's really changed. So I'm gonna start messing with that and see if I want to keep a couple million. I mean, I'm keeping 2 million right now, but if I can maybe keep 4 or 5 million blocks and just kind of see what the hell happens with that. As long as it's returning data at a decent time, I don't really care. It's not so much the data.
5 million blocks must be a fair bit because, I mean, Say's only 85 million like, blocks.
Yeah. No, isn't it more than that? It's 100 something?
85 million.
Is that where we are?
Yeah, I've been waiting for the 100 million party, but it just seems to fucking, you know,
like that. Are we having a 100 million party?
Yet then, yeah, 100 million party, yeah. Brisbane and Australia.
Is it going to a dollar?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been holding on to that stuff for a while now, so.
Yeah.
Seeing what's going to happen with it. I thought it might have been a little bit different when V2 launched, but I suppose it was not at a great time of the market, so.
Well, everything's really, I mean, it was 90-something cents after that, wasn't it? After V2, or maybe it was before. But it's, I mean, right now, Say it's actually holding on the best of the stuff that I'm looking at because it's only down 1% over the last 7 days. So as we talked about before, like Ethereum's at 3,300. Bitcoin's at back at 61,000, but I guess in that this is going under 60 grand. I know it's been floating around under 60,000. So once that gets in the 50s, if it gets down to the 45s, I don't know. We're going to be in here for a while, I think. Do you know what 13 cents? What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, every time we've made money in crypto, it begs the question, should we have put it into Bitcoin? Like, it would be interesting to know. Like, I have no idea how you'd even work out that calculation. But if I had, like, a comprehensive enough spreadsheet, it would be quite interesting to be like, every time we as a company have created a taxable event as a result of crypto sale or movement or trade, what if we rewrote all of them to be average price on that day of Bitcoin and then imagine that we held it? I think we'd be on a beach now. I think we'd be on a beach. Right. That's my suspicion.
Rama says, literally no one cares about V2 or the tech except for people getting paid. I don't know if that's exactly true. We have seen – the one thing I have seen on the EVM side, with at least since we're talking about Say, we can talk about Say. The number of teams that have come in on with Solidity versus, or whatever the hell, or I guess it was Solidity or whatever the hell like they're writing it, versus on the Wasm side is like 2x, maybe 3x. The amount of actual, I don't know about user engagement, but our traffic is way higher now on the VM side than it has been on the native, quote unquote, side when it was back with Say. On like the traditional Wasm side. So like it, I don't know if it's bringing in new users so much, Rama, or if it's creating an environment that allows different teams, or if it's just new. And he says, I'm not buying Say because of V2. I agree with you, but I don't know if you're the target user. Like the target user is EVM based users who understand these tools, who have DEXs that, like, you know, I think, is it Uniswap? I forget what we talked about. Is it Uniswap coming to Say? Like, or they're adding Say as a, yeah.
It is, like, yeah.
That's the user base. And I think that idea of bringing in, you know, however many million new users who are looking for low gas options to be able to do blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that it hasn't been there in the past. Because
by blah, 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 you mean degen trades.
It could be, yeah. And it's not like yes, and it's not like this is the first chain that has a low gas situation and it allows EVM. I mean, we talked about Evmos before, right? Like those are the same type of things. And again,
it does have parallelism and it is fast as fuck. Like the only other thing as fast is Solana. So
yeah, and again, like I said before, we led this off. Technology alone doesn't do shit. Like the fact that it's 30-second blocks or 15-second or 0.3 seconds. Is not going to be the differentiator. Like it's not what it is, right? It's got to be users and it's got to be valid applications that are cool, that are actually valuable. So the technology is not enough, right? The same reason that we talked about Evmos and Juno when we kicked this off, like that's not enough. So is it enough to be attractive for, you know, teams that have a significant user base to be able to use the technology? I think it's starting that way, but we'll see kind of what happens with it, right? And you know, we'll see.
I guess it's like, well, it's also like a weird toss up, isn't it? Of like, there's like this intersection of few concepts, like, you know, the TVL and like. In essence, it's basically that it needs to be already happening enough to be worth moving to, but you also need to attract projects that have a cachet enough that they will bring people with them for their use case. So it's just like inherently chicken and egg, isn't it? If you're a platform that's not developing your own apps,
I don't know. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, maybe there's some way of squaring that circle. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think if somebody figured it out, then maybe, more chains wouldn't be languishing in the where are they now file, basically. So
it's always a good Spinal Tap reference in there somewhere.
It's always a good reference. It's always a good reference.
Yeah. Anyway. So fuck it.
Fuck it. Speaking Back of the where it. Are they now file, I guess.
Yeah, no news this week. What the hell? Where's our news researcher?
Well, we haven't paid him.
For what? For June?
Yeah.
No, still June, though.
No, for May.
Oh, for May?
Yeah.
That's not true. Is that true?
Yeah,
it's true. Is that a blockchain somewhere?
Payment went through in May, but that was for April. We're perpetually like 2 weeks behind. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we should get that up. Get it
Do we have any money in there?
Must
have $600 in there.
$600.
Fucking hell.
Basically,
what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Get that best in class DAO technology on it.
Need to get rid of all of that $600 before the end of the month so that I have no interest in the game of nodes DAO so that it doesn't affect my tax.
Does this affect your tax? Are you putting this in there?
Well, I won't.
But you're not.
I mean, well, I won't.
You're not.
I won't, but
clearly not true. Right.
It's USDC, dude.
I ignore all accounts under $1,000 don't get included in my tax.
Yeah, if you're tracking accounts associated,
so all Cosmos chains.
Hey, Rama.
Yeah, that was by design.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there is an open prop. We do have an open prop, right?
I put it in the comments just before I opened it during this live stream.
Why is this on a ledger?
Let's get the ledger out. Come on. It's not a
Maybe we'll get some news before the end of the episode.
It's not a DAO experience unless you're being peer pressured, usually on a video call to sign a thing.
To be fair, our Juno Val has like $4 on it, so I pulled it off the ledger. I don't give a shit. Fucking taking those keys right off.
$4. Oh, yeah.
Freed up that ledger.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. I sent a box somewhere. All right. Let's see. Voting yes. Here we go. Panner News Reacher.
Here we go.
Real time. The only person who voted was Jimmy Smallballs.
Hey, yeah, Rama. In approximately 1 minute, you'll be able to go buy yourself a packet of cigarettes.
There you go.
Hey, look, we're paying in USDC. We're not paying in Juno. It'd probably be more than a packet of cigarettes.
That's real.
A packet of cigarettes in Australia is like $100. That government's really got their claws in that shit.
Why can't I execute on this? We have quorum.
It said that we had quorum. I don't know what's going on there. It said you had quorum from one fucking person, but I don't know.
Our quorum's 20% on a 4-person ballot. Yeah, that makes sense. That's good call.
Who did that? Anyone can. It's just that
anyway. It doesn't matter. Let's just fucking drain it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do we want to talk about chain abstraction?
Sure. What do you got?
Well, so, I mean, there are a bunch of teams these days that are getting into the chain abstraction, and they're collaborating and writing, blogs together, which is good to see. So I think in particular, there is, you've got Zion, which is doing chain abstraction. You've got CETA. There is no A in that word.
There is an A.
There's not two A's. How about that?
FYI, there is an A.
Yeah.
Okay, executed.
Particle. You've got Particle.
Yeah. Particle. That's not chain abstraction, though, right?
Yeah, Particle doing chain.
Oh, you're right. You're right. My bad.
Chain abstraction.
100%. Yeah.
There is another one that I know of as well. I want to say. I can look this one. What's Ilian? What is he? What network was that?
That's Particle.
Lian. Is it?
Oh, Nillion. That's Nillion. Sorry. Is that what you're talking about? Yes.
No, Ilan. What network's Ilan?
It is...
The guy Ilan.
I know who you're talking about, dude. Hold on.
Yeah.
It is Nillion.
That's Nillion, is it? Okay. Nillion. Yeah, Nillion are doing chain abstraction.
Yes, that's Nillion. That's chain abstraction as well. Yes.
Yeah, so, that's a fair chunk of teams.
Even in our small sphere, that's a big chunk of teams. Yeah.
Yeah, so they've put together an article here. I'll drop the link in the chat down here, but I haven't read through it all yet, so I can't really talk too much about it, but I thought you guys might have been on top of what's going on there. But I think it's coming at a time where this is needed. I don't like an implementation of chain abstraction is needed to shove things forward. I think no one wants to come and deal with keys and shit. Have you used any of these before?
Mm-mm. Have you used them on Zion, like associated to the testnet and all that stuff?
Yeah. So I've used some Zion implementations of it, and it is pretty smooth, to be honest. It's like, but it does rely on like third party services, I think, at the moment still. So I think talking with Nillion, they were looking at sort of some ways of getting around that in the future. So I mean, maybe it's better to talk about this next week after I've had time to read this article, I think, which was an overnight thing. So
can you link the article? We'll link the article in the show notes.
It is in the, I linked it in the chat there.
Okay.
So yeah, but we'll put it in the show notes as well.
I mean, we've talked about this. We're at Consensus. It was obviously a big topic. It came out of when we were in Austin, right? Like there's a, ZK was a big topic. We talked about AI. We talked about abstraction. And I think out of those three, I'm kind of most curious and interested in abstraction, because I think that is the one that it increases the user base.
Well, it's away from the one that's going to remove the friction of new users, or the friction of bringing on new users. So.
Yeah, and I think even like what Frey's working on in terms of payments, or in terms of the ability to perform, you know, be able to perform typical transactions that allow for ease of use across different ecosystems and different types of users. I think that's obviously like one of the most important pieces of that piece, right? Which is to take all that this bullshit that we know, which is a huge body of bullshit that we know, right? As individuals, in terms of how to move, like even when we try to get rid of rewards or something else like that, or commissions, like sometimes you get even as a validator in a space, you can get situations where you're like, how the fuck am I getting rid of this? Like, where am I getting, how am I moving this cash? And like, what's the cheapest way for me to be able to do that? And like, how do I do that and be able to get in a situation where I want to remove the extra, like get rid of this ability to know all this information associated to chain dynamics and all that kind of stuff. So I do think it's an important piece, right, to grow the user base and everything else.
So there is a couple of things to this abstraction thing, right? And the first one, which is what we're talking about a second ago with Zion, is that I think Zion is more account abstraction is their implementation at the moment, which is the doing away with the words, right? Mm-hmm. And they're doing, like, you know, I'm not sure if Zion in particular, but teams I've talked to are doing this in various different ways and implementations of, you know, different 2FA things or an email thing, or, you know, just various ways and means to do away with the 12 and 24 word thing, so that, you know, it's repeatable. You can log in with your email or what have you. But the other part to it is the act. So when they talk about chain abstraction, they're talking about removing, more or less, I guess, within the wallet, the need to be connected to many different things to see sure. all of your assets, etc. So, you know, basically, like, all of your stuff from everywhere is reported in the one place, and if you want to, and you know. It's a whole all about the user experience and being able to, like, you know, if you're on Say and you want to buy some shit coin on Say, and you go to your wallet and you just say buy this shit coin with 100 USDC, well, you know, that USDC might be sourced, say half of it comes from Agoric and the other half comes from, I don't know, Zion, and mm-hmm. then it executes on Say. I think that's like the whole thing behind chain abstraction, is that your assets yeah. are more available and it just all happens in the background without you having to physically move shit around just to use it. And, you know, you can report everything in the one place. So, I mean, that will be good, but it also leaves the door open to just have fragmentation of your shit all over the place without you really knowing where it is as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, that premise is basically the same as what I'm literally working on for my PhD, but they've come to fully the opposite conclusion. They've gone like, the system is totally fragmented. Identities are insane. Everybody's got to handle loads of them. Security is a massive issue. There's all of these individual targeted threats and issues, as well as systemic ones and blah, blah, blah. And their solution is, yeah, we'll just create one account to rule them all. And like the way I'm coming at it, I suppose, and the research group that I work in, is that the problem is that you have a blockchain and you don't fucking need a blockchain for any of the stuff you degens are doing. You just don't actually, and your blockchains aren't actually that secure. They're not that rewrite resistant and they're not that economically rigorous. So what you should instead do is build a better protocol to replace the one that you have talking between them, and focus on that as your source of truth, and think about ways in which the ephemerality or otherwise of the proofs that provides could be provided in a way that is secure, cryptographically robust, and replicated within a reasonable amount of consensus, some definition of consensus. And then just like, yeah, sure, have a blockchain somewhere, but it can just be whatever, man. Like, it doesn't matter. Like you shouldn't, you don't need a foundation and a team to run a blockchain. Because some fucking DJ could be running a blockchain in the garage and just write it to that. Who gives a shit? Like, it's just a place at rest for some Merkle proofs, right? The important thing that's actually happening is when assets get transacted. Like, it's chosen to legal definitions of ownership, right? It's chosen action. Do you have the ability to take an action? The point of importance in the network diagram is the ability to take the action. And you should be able to do that as a user simply. That's the thing I agree on. Across multiple things, also agree on it. Privately, definitely, that's where I sup not any longer from the public blockchain paradigm. And securely, which we also agree on, right? That's the whole basis of the cryptography and economics and incentive systems securing these systems, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the point is that, like, the abstraction itself is the whole ball game for me, for the future of all these systems. Like, I don't give a shit about the blockchains, and they don't even need to be blockchains, really. But the idea that account bit is an account, or in meaningfully in the same way that we think about it right now, yeah, I'm not buying it. There's a whole other bunch of stuff there, but hey, whatever, it's cool.
But I don't know if I understand what you said though, because the validity of the account that exists on a specific shit chain that is, to your point, running within a garage or something else is important, right?
Only because it currently is. My additional thesis is that all those are going to die anyway. So, except for Ethereum, a few other big ones. So,
well, I mean, yes, maybe because of the number of people who are involved in it, or the amount that's staked, or just being first in, yep. Right? But
so my theory of change is, right, you build the thing for the idealized. Any blockchain can run underneath it. It's just a store of state. Who cares about how its validator set operates? Blah, 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 blah. But yeah. you know that you're never going to write anything insecure to it, because all the cryptography is happening at the edge. So you're just persisting Merkle proofs of a thing happened in the past. And only the current owner of the transaction that occurred can ever even introspect that. And usually, depending on what kind of thing you're doing, there might not even be any metadata even to the owner of that transaction. And there's this common idea in digital currencies, which is that everything has a half-life. Once you're done with an asset, once you're done with a thing, once you're done with an operation, you recycle it. You just poof it away and you regenerate something mm-hmm. when you need it. This is the thing which I think has the most tension with permissionless systems, right? Is that there's a lot, any of these systems that rely on the idea of shorter-lived, permissioned, and I mean permissioned in the sense in like a, yeah, it can be, you know, in a, like an identity system, which could be completely permissionless in its architecture, but I need to create a permission, like a read key, for example, for you to look at the thing that I'm sending you, usurper. Like if we use GPG to send an email, right? Mm-hmm. You know, But even in that situation, I suppose, you, depending on how you architect these things, there's a lot of subtle complexity in how those proofs are issued and what actual... The proof can be cryptographically correct, but if the issuer doesn't have any cachet, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
So Nick, Elsehow, you know Elsehow, right? Old school mm-hmm. Dowdow. So Elsehow mm-hmm. is a cybersecurity researcher, and has wrote about this a couple of years ago in a blog post called, I think it was The Identity Bureau. And it was essentially about how it's one thing to be able to issue identities on a ledger or any kind of decentralized system, but how you agree at who has the authority to validate that identity is actually the harder problem, like the social consensus problem. And to some extent, that's also the problem with money, And that's why you have these oblique, complex economic incentives also at play in the blockchain world, right? So I don't know. It's all fascinating. I spend too long thinking about this stuff, really. So
the question is, has the PhD made you this cynical and fucking negative as a CBDC expert? Or are you bringing that as from your history to these people and they go, yeah, what the fuck? This guy's right. Which way is it going?
Am I miserable? Do I listen to pop music because I'm miserable?
Wait. I can rephrase.
Were you born as a miserable cunt?
Do I listen to pop music because I'm miserable, or am I miserable
because are you miserable because of your history bringing it to the PhD, or are you just more miserable because everybody else in this CBDC discussion is as cynical and miserable as you are, and you're like, yeah, fuck, this is even worse than I thought. Which way is it?
I would say that in general, people are like a lot of people are old school cypherpunks, like proper old school cypherpunks, and it never happened. You know, the cypherpunk revolution, everything's gonna be great. It didn't really happen. Yeah. And so there's a lot of jadedness there. And I think they see, understandably, the crypto stuff as kind of like a very, it's like the virtue signaling version of the cypherpunk future. And a lot of it's actually potentially quite user harmful. So there's a jadedness there. But yeah, so I think there's like a kind of hypothetical, oh, these things are quite bad, but I don't really follow the details of why they're bad. I just academically know they probably are bad and I'm waiting to be proved correct. And then you come along and they go, oh, well, you know, this thing is a thing you want to avoid. And you go, yeah, fuck, you really want to avoid that because it turns out loads of nodes double sign. Then people get on governance and then they undouble sign themselves and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, huh, that's happening already. And you're like, yeah. And they're like, huh, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, to obviously they wouldn't probably get this cultural reference necessarily, but you know, just a random interlocutor might not be as online, if you like. But you know, like these crypto nerds are speed running like European intellectual history, as somebody put it on that blog post that we were talking about the other day. You know, it's a little bit like that. But I think the thing that has made me more cynical is actually just really beginning to understand how these systems work under the hood at like a better level. Because it's one thing, like if you're maintaining a chain in Cosmos, right, you get a reasonable practical understanding for how to nibble away under the hood at like the SDK and the application level and blah, blah, blah. But when you start to get a better understanding of what else is out there and how it works under the hood and the limitations of it, you start to see very, very clearly. Like, I mean, we joke about like the lies that are sold to venture capitalists and all that stuff, but you also just go like the things that you're saying you're going to do are not possible with your level of technical expertise on your team and where the technology is now. Like they're just a lie. And I think that's the thing that's made me quite the most jaded, really.
So the answer is
a little bit.
Yes. The answer is that you're changing the opinion of your classmates based on your history.
No, I don't really talk to anybody else, man.
No? Yeah. No, okay.
Yeah. Well, when I go in, literally, there's one postdoc who works on robotics and computer vision in the office that I go into. We cross over not at all. He's a heavy maths guy. we literally, because I go down like every week, sit in our office, we chat a little bit, say how's it going, whatever. I think he's a bit younger than me. And then he is only a 1 year postdoc, so he's already gone. That's it. That's my one colleague, like, is basically, other than my supervisor and people in my research group. But you don't see people in your research group very often unless there's like an event.
Yeah.
Or you run into each other in the corridor and you're like, hey, what's up?
So basically so I had this vision of like you walking in and talking about this stuff. And then like your professors like Donald Sutherland and Animal House, where he just goes home and just lights up a huge joint. And just be like, that dude's got issues.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah, the My experience of the academics that I am beholden to is that they are all basically what I pictured they would be like. But a lot of people do computer science PhDs because a lot of fintech companies expect their technical liaison staff, and they're like, I don't know quite what the word is, like, there's like an office of the CTO in a lot of big organizations, especially banks and stuff, where they basically have young, smart people who they'll go and attach to a project. And they're not programmers. And they're not exactly computer scientists. They're like kind of due diligence people. And if you want to do that job, it seems like the deal is you get a PhD and you do that. So there's a lot of people who are fully over 10 years younger than me who are doing PhDs on like, your risk management is very maths, actually, from my perspective, as someone who's come as a programmer. It's very it feels very maths rather than computer science, but it is computer science. It's just that what I'm doing is relatively applied. So that's the other thing that's a bit weird. Whenever you do encounter somebody, you're like, ah, we run servers and whatever, or somebody be like, oh, I need to run this thing and I don't have a box. And I'll literally be like, oh, I think we've got a spare Epic box that's still being paid for another month if you want it. And they'll be like, what? And be like, yeah, I think it's got like 512 gig of RAM if you need some extra RAM. And they're just like, what? I'm like, genuinely use it, but it will die in 3 weeks. So give me an answer like on email, yeah? Like, people don't think you're serious. The thing is, though, you just don't sound like you're making a serious offer when you say something like that.
Right.
You are. Like, I genuinely are. That's happened a couple of times where I've just been like, hey, if you need a box, like, we've got them, but you know, they will expire at the end of the month. But, like, you can, if you just need to run something for a couple of days, you can thrash that motherfucker. We don't pay, you know.
It doesn't matter.
Wreck those hard drives, baby.
That's funny.
If you're like, oh, sure, I'll let you know. And you're like, okay, cool. Never mind.
Never mind. It's fine. Anyway, I'm going to burn it all. We're gonna burn all this shit to the ground.
Maybe
it's fine. Everything's disposable.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's forever, dude. Not even on the blockchain. It's fucking,
especially with these shit chains. Yeah, exactly.
Especially with these shit chains, they're all going to zero, baby. So speaking of going to zero, do we get to cover the most recent drama in the?
What do we got?
Well, I mean the Juno. Depose the council thing's quite funny.
Crypto tank, yeah.
Yeah. So
there is a proposal, a current proposal that is related to that, I guess, to drop the
council.
I don't think
Crypto Tank's put up the make me dictator proposal yet, right?
No, just that there's a proposal to drop the, and like reading the comments from the that Commonwealth, the discourse on that Commonwealth about, you know, Crypto Tank's proposal on Commonwealth, like it looks to me, it looks like the charter wants to be dropped anyway. Like I voted yes on the, you know, dissolve the charter, and then like some people said, why are you doing that? So I have to have another look at it. But we're an abstain for the moment on that proposal. But, you know.
I don't know. The charter only had to work on it for 6 months. Like some of us.
Well, it hasn't really achieved anything, right?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, 6 months is a pretty short time to be working on something. Like, I think if you're going to have the full experience of suffering for Juno, I think you should do it for a longer period of time before you know. Kids these days, they suffer for 6 months and they're like, I want out. Yeah.
That thread is fucking awesome, though.
It's chaos, isn't it?
It's a good read. I'll put a link in the show notes. Yeah. If you, Demi and Tank and who else is in there? Gaines, right?
I think Niels.
Mills is in there.
Might also be an occasional listener of the Poddo. It has an absolutely spellbinding edition where they just sort of say, it's kind of funny how this all has like an analog in European history, but you know, you'll keep doing your thing. It's cool. elect your Napoleon. Well, no, I think he makes there's the Prince Metternich, isn't it? But yeah, yeah. Elect your Napoleon, and we'll see how that pans out for you.
It's like old school. It's like good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll put I mean, I don't know if I have an opinion on it, to be honest, but the tank, I mean, we've supported Tank in the past, right? Because we actually sponsored the
NFT Nashville.
NFT Nashville, that's right. Yeah, we sponsored that structure, right? So, but the idea that, hey, give up on all this shit and like, let's get some movement going and like, let's get going and all this kind of stuff, I thought was fun. Anyway.
I don't know, man. Like, the network can't pay for it. Like, all this stuff that people want to get paid for, it's like, there's no fucking money, man. Stop thinking there's money. Like, the only way Juno is ever going to do anything and survive if a group of people become really passionate about it and work their asses off for free. That is the only way it will ever fucking get out of the doldrums.
Which, to be fair, was kind of like everybody worked for free on Juno in the early days before it launched anyway. Like, that was what happened. And
yeah, but then it had like, you know, prospects. Now there are no prospects. There's no teams built on there. There's nothing.
Well, well, that was exactly it. Like the
broken dreams.
The problem was it got too successful for too little, too quickly.
That's right.
And it had the wrong core team to manage that transition, and it had the wrong or not enough developers to actually maintain any real momentum. And then Luna blew up, and then that was that, really? You know?
Yeah.
Combination of Prop 16 and Terra, and that was enough to kill it, basically.
Yeah. And again, you're building a platform, and you're trying to invite teams, and teams have lots of options of where to be able to build. And so when those types of – when that drop comes, like, why would we get involved in that shit, right? Like, why would we tie our horse to this fucking wagon type of thing, right?
Yeah, it was just like, it's just like that classic thing. If you wake up one morning, you know, you need to quit your job when you wake up one morning and you're like, this is just an abusive relationship, actually. What the fuck? And I think, I think a lot of teams building on Juno ultimately had that realization, right? Which was that whether or not, and this is the bit that people didn't talk about so much, but whether or not it was the actual community or it was Core One or any number of other stakeholders or whatever. There were just a lot of people who were kicking your head in if you were working on Juno.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like, there comes a point where you're just like, I'm fucking too old for this shit, man. Like, I could just pack this shit in, get a well-paid job and just fucking be anonymous in a big company, right? Just clock in, work remotely. To fucking clock in from this damn chair right here and just like not fucking worry about it anymore.
And let's be honest, a proper dictator is far better than the community, and the community can be far better than a shit dictator. So I think having that, everything being voted by committee, by far, if you have somebody who has a vision, who wants to be able to push things forward and will power through that stuff, in the end, A strong dictator in those types of situations will overcome that. I just don't. In this situation, I think it's too little, too late, and I don't know if that's the right dictator. But
well, it's also like there's a kind of conflict, isn't there, between Juno as a political entity versus Juno as a business entity. And I think if you look for the lessons of history for how it should govern itself, you'll come up with a potentially different answer from how it should approach itself as a business. And that has always been a tension with Juno. And I think, to be fair, the Juno Charter lot have done a pretty good job, as far as I can tell, of just like looking under the rug and working out what the fuck was going on, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, that's about business governance in a lot of ways more than business operations. And this is complicated organizational stuff. Like, you know, I feel like I'm out my lane. So,
but are there any teams that actually have that situation where you have a CEO that is governed by a board, like you would in the enterprise space? Like the board, a board of directors is usually pretty typically useless, meaning like they're very poor at making decisions, but they are good in terms of ensuring that the people who are making decisions are going in the right direction and or being measured and monitored to say
outside of Cosmos. I think so.
In Cosmos, is that exist? Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Greg at Akash or something similar to that. Because I mean, you have a lot of project team owners that are like individuals that are figureheads, but they might still have a board that sits on top of that. But purely having a community type structure like this, I think is you just it's constantly bickering and I don't know.